Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad that you're here for worship. This morning I want us to focus on prayer. Prayer is something that all of us probably do on a regular basis. At least I hope you do. But all of us need to learn more about prayer. And God's Word teaches us about prayer. The scripture that you just read out of Luke chapter 11 tells us that Jesus was with his disciples in a certain place. He had been praying, and the disciples heard him and saw him praying, and they knew that Jesus could teach them more about how to pray. So in verse 1, you will see what they said to him. Lord, teach us to pray. So that is the title of my sermon today. It is the theme that I want us to focus on for a few minutes as we focus today on prayer. In this scripture, Luke 11, verses 1 through 13, especially 1 through 4, is one Lord's Prayer in the New Testament. As you know, the Gospels share some common material, but then in the Gospels, there is uniqueness and difference between the four Gospels. There is another version of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. It is a slightly longer version of the Lord's Prayer, but you will see similar words in both Luke's prayer and Matthew's. At the back of your hymnal, at the bottom of the back of your hymnal, would you look at that right now? Just take your hymnals and look at the bottom of the back of your hymnal. I hope that you can see there the Lord's Prayer, Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer. Do you have that? Does everyone see that? So what I would like for you to do is keep your Bible open to Luke's version and your hymnal open to Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer as we focus today on prayer. And I hope that your desire, as well as mine, is summed up in those words, Lord, teach us to pray. As we look together at the Lord's Prayer in Luke and Matthew, there are three important themes, three important parts of this focus that I want us to look at. First, in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, we see a pattern for prayer. In verses 5 through 8, we see persistence in praying. Persistence. That means you don't give up. Don't quit praying. God wants us to pray to Him about many things, but don't give up. And then, in verses 9 through 13 of Luke 11, we see God's provision in prayer. First, let's look at a pattern for prayer. If you look at Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer in verses 2 through 4, and then if you look at Matthew's Lord's Prayer, you will see a similar pattern. The first part of both prayers focus on God. Do you see that? In Luke 11, Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. In Matthew's version of that same prayer, you will see that the focus on God says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is showing us a way to pray. So when you pray, focus first on God, His holiness, His personal grace that He offers each of us. And if you'll notice in Matthew's version, the focus on God is about half the prayer. So I think that is teaching us something about prayer. That when you pray, focus on God first. Even if there are some really important things you want to pray about your own life or about someone who's related to you, that's fine. But first, praise Him. Thank Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. Focus your prayers first on God, then get to the things that are important to you in terms of the needs in your life. God is very personal. As you notice the prayer, it uses the word Father or our Father. The important thing to notice there is that God is a person. God wants to relate to us. Jesus is saying, when you pray, understand that God is related to you by your faith. He is part of your spiritual family. He's your father, your daddy. There's a word in Scripture that sometimes we use called Abba, which means father. So when you're praying, realize you're not praying to a wall or a rock or something that can't respond to you. You're praying God, who is personal. He loves you, and He wants you to see Him as your father. He sees you as His child. So let it be a father-to-child kind of conversation in your prayer, especially as you begin every prayer. David Buttrick once wrote about that. He says, the Lord's Prayer, with its word Father or Abba, turns all of our formal praying into a conversation, a meaningful relationship. Jesus is telling us that when we pray, our first word ought to be Daddy. I think He's right. So remember, when you pray, you can say our Father. You can also say my Father, or you can say, oh Daddy, I love you. What a beautiful way to start your prayer. And it gets you focused on Him first. It lifts you out of your circumstances, whether they be good or bad, and focuses first on Him. A Christian writer, Cheryl Donaldson, tells about her grandfather. He started every morning on his knees praying to God, praying for those he loved. And according to Cheryl, her grandfather began every prayer with these words, Father, we thank Thee that we belong to Thee. Cheryl says that over the years, as she heard her grandfather pray time after time, and as he opened his prayers with the same words every time, Father, we thank Thee that we belong to Thee, it helped her to understand that God is personal, that God is so eager for us to talk with Him and to acknowledge that He is the Creator and we are the created. And therefore, we need to give Him praise. He's our Daddy. He loves us with an everlasting love. So first of all, remember that God is personal. He wants you to pray to Him as your Father. But He's also holy. God is holy. Now, what is holy? Well, in the Scripture, there in verse 2, it says, Father, hallowed be Your name. That word hallowed is not something we use very often, is it? I mean, have you used that word this past week? I haven't. We don't use that word hallowed very much. It means holy. So the prayer could read, Father, holy is Your name. And maybe we just need to see this word hallowed as a way of helping us understand the holiness of God. You know, we live in a secular world, and we get involved in so many earthly pursuits that sometimes we lose a sense of the holiness in this world. There is much more than just this secular, physical dimension we live in. And God wants us to understand that He is holy, even though we are not. And therefore, we need, in our praying, to open up our prayers by acknowledging that God is holy. Therefore, He possesses what we do not. And therefore, we can learn from Him, receive from Him what He's ready to give us. So be sure that you, when you pray, that you have this sense of the holiness of God. Isaiah in chapter 6, you probably remember when Isaiah went into the temple, he was just overwhelmed, overcome with the holiness of God. You remember what he said? "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty." So Isaiah saw this contrast. Unclean lips, unclean lives, contrasting with Lord God Almighty. And out of that contrast, he grew in his faith. He just fell on his feet there in the temple, humbling himself before Holy God. We need to humble ourselves before Holy God. Second, as you pray, focus on God's reign and God's will. God is our King. He wants us to participate in His kingdom. He is in control. So the prayer says, "Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come." And Matthew's version, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." So we want to focus on God's reign and His will for our lives. So the ultimate purpose of prayer is to align your mind with God's mind so that His will becomes your will. What God purposes, we need to purpose in our lives. Very, very important. Acknowledge that God is God and King. Another point that I want us to see that I have noted here on this piece of paper that you just got, letter B, focus on God's reign and His will. Then you can begin to pray about the needs in your life and in the needs of other people's lives. Just be sure that you acknowledge Him. Then you can pray for your needs and the needs of other people around you. You know, all of us have needs. We all struggle. We all want something either for ourselves or for our loved ones or for this world. There is a lot that we bring to God in prayer. And that is good. After we have acknowledged who He is as our Lord and God, personal and holy, then share your heart with Him about your needs. I know every day when I pray, I lift up my family. I know you do too. I pray for my wife. I pray for my children and their spouses. I pray for my grandchildren. Our family is kind of scattering in many different directions right now. We have several grandchildren, and you know, one is getting married next year, and his fiance is entering law school at Georgetown in Washington, D.C. In fact, our daughter is up there helping them get organized for that. We have another grandson who is a rising junior at Austin Peay State University in Clarksville. We have another granddaughter, their younger sister, who starts the University of Alabama this fall. We have another grandson who is becoming a junior in high school. We have another granddaughter who is becoming an eighth grader in school. I have a lot to pray about. But so do you. So do you. And God wants us to come to Him and pray. You know, we also need to pray not only for the needs of other people around us, but we need to pray for forgiveness, don't we? We all sin. The Bible says we are all sinners. We all stand in the need of forgiveness. And notice what the prayer says there about that. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. We all have problems. We all have sins that we need to be forgiven for. Temptation is something that comes to every one of us. Have you been tempted this past week? Sure you have. We all have. How'd you do with that temptation? Well, maybe you won a few. Maybe you lost a few. And so we need to come to God in prayer every day, asking God to forgive us and cleanse us, to make us right and pure before Him. We just need to do that. We need help with the temptations that come our way. I don't know if you remember, maybe you weren't even in the United States when this television program was on TV, but several years ago, there was a TV show called Hee Haw. You remember Hee Haw? Did you see? Anybody ever see that? Well, on Hee Haw, there was a lot of country music and it was a lot of corny jokes. One of the characters on that program was named Archie Grandpappy Campbell. And he played the role of a doctor. And one show on that Hee Haw program, Doc Campbell was confronted by a patient who broke his arm in two places. And the man said to Doc, "What should I do?" And Doc said, "Stay out of those places." That's good advice for all of us. Stay out of the places that tempt you. Stay out of the places that would lead you from God rather than toward Him. All of us fail to make right choices at times, but God wants us to love Him and serve Him and live the life we need to live. Jesus is telling us we need help with our temptation and we need to be forgiven. But notice in this prayer and Matthew's prayer how Jesus puts together His forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of one another. You see that? Look what it says in the Matthew prayer at the back of your hymnal. Forgive us our debts. That also sometimes is said trespasses or sins. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. So Jesus is saying, as you pray, realize there is sin in your life and God is ready to forgive you, but God's forgiveness of us is linked to our forgiveness of somebody else. So if somebody has hurt your feelings, if somebody has sinned against you, if you've been wronged by someone else, you need to work on that as well as your needs of God's forgiveness in your life. Make sure that you understand that God's forgiveness of your sins is linked to your forgiveness of those around you. So, the pattern for prayer is very important for us to remember. Pray to God who is personal and holy. Focus on God's reign and His will for your life. Pray for your needs and the needs of other people. And then return your focus to God at the end of your prayer and acknowledge His power and His glory. And then conclude your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. At the back of your hymnal, you will see the Lord's Prayer in Matthew concludes with these words: "Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So it is a beautiful way to acknowledge God once again, His power and His authority in your life and in this world. So you focus on God as you begin your prayer. You focus on God at the end of your prayer. And in the middle, you can pray about the needs of your life. And you can pray about God's forgiveness of your sins. And you can also commit to God that you're going to forgive others who have wronged you. That is a really good pattern for praying. And then close your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. The pattern for prayer. Now let's look at persistence in prayer. The second part of this Luke 11 passage of Scripture speaks of persistence. Jesus tells the story. Look at verse 11, Luke 11. Look at verse 5. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside says, "Don't bother me. The door is locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your persistence, your audacity, your boldness, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Jesus told that story because he was wanting you to understand that when you pray, you need to be persistent. That means you just need to keep on praying to God about things in your life. So it may be you have a special time for prayer each day. It may be early morning, maybe late at night, but also through the day. Just go to God in prayer. And if you're praying with Him about something in your life, then just be persistent. Continue to let Him know what is on your heart and what you would like for God to do for you. Persistence in praying. There is also a third part of this scripture that I want us to see, and that is provision through prayer. That word provision means God is ready to provide for us as we pray. It doesn't mean that everything you pray for will come to you. It may not be God's will for you. But every prayer is heard, and every prayer is answered. Now, it may not be the answer you want. It may not be the timing that you want in your life for God to answer. But God will answer every prayer. God's provision through prayer. Make sure that you keep praying, even though you don't feel like maybe your prayers are being answered. It's like a little girl who crawled up in her father's lap while he was reading the newspaper and told him how much she wanted him to build her a dollhouse. She didn't climb down until her daddy had promised to do just that. Although he was somewhat distracted and mostly said that so he could get back to reading his newspaper, he actually forgot his promise to his little girl to build the dollhouse until he went into her room one evening and he saw that she had packed all of her dolls and all of her doll furniture into a box. And when he asked her about it, she said, "Well, I knew that you would be building me a dollhouse, and I wanted to be ready to move those dolls into their new home." Well, of course, he immediately began to work on the dollhouse. But it's a picture, I think, of faith, isn't it? That little girl trusted her father to build that dollhouse because he said he would. And even though he had forgotten about it, he changed his heart, he changed his mind, and built that house. God is wanting us to pray to him, and he is really wanting to provide for the needs in our lives. Now, one thing I want you to notice at the end of this section of Scripture, chapter 11, verse 13, notice what it says concerning the provision of God for our needs. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Notice that the main provision that God is ready to give you and me is the presence and fullness of his Holy Spirit in our lives. You may not get exactly what you pray for, but you will always experience the fullness of God's Spirit in your life. And that's what we need the most. Amen? Amen. That is what God is ready to give us. His Holy Spirit. He is a God who provides. And so, as we look at this section of Scripture, we'll see the pattern for our praying. We'll see the importance of persistence during our praying. And we see the provision of God as he provides for us his Holy Spirit to meet the deep needs of our lives. In one of his books, Bruce Larson tells about a tragic plane crash in the area where he lived. A plane was flying in fog and crashed into the side of a mountain. And a commercial pilot told Bruce that such crashes were tragic and unnecessary. He said pilots are taught to go up what they can't, and when they can't see in a fog, they keep going up until they can see. You see, fog hovers close to land, and there is a limit to the fog. So if you go up high enough, you will see clearly. And the pilot told Bruce, that's a very important point for flying. But Bruce wrote in his book, that's a very important point for all of us as we pray, as we live our faith each day. Sometimes when we're living life and living our faith, it's almost like we're kind of in a fog. We get confused, our priorities get mixed up, we get depressed, things don't go well. Life can seem like a fog at times, and it's almost like a plane crashing into a mountain. We just don't seem to be going anywhere with our lives. But in the fog, remember, you need to go up as far as you can so that you can see clearly. And I think that's a beautiful illustration of prayer. Prayer lifts us above the fogs of our life. Lifts us out of the circumstances that sometimes preoccupy us and blind us. And therefore helps us to connect with God, who is above our fog and can see us in it and is with us through it. Okay? So, remember, when you're struggling, especially, pray. Connect with God, who sees above it all and who can help you find a way through everything you face. God bless you as you pray, as Jesus teaches us to pray. Aren't we thankful for the lessons He offers us in His holy word? Let's pray. Oh God, we come to You thanking You for who You are and praising You for all that You do for us. Thank You for speaking to us through Your holy word today, teaching us how to pray. So Father, may we remember this biblical pattern for praying. May we be persistent in our praying to You. And may we trust You that You are ready to provide, especially the fullness of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh God, we love You, we thank You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.